preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quest on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Father, one of the greatest songs of praise and worship ever written. I thank you, Lord, because it is the truth. You are great. The day is coming, Lord. You will come to take us home. We will bow before your throne. The joy will fill our hearts, Lord. We are looking for that day because you are coming. And Lord, we are grateful that we can know you. Lord Jesus, we can know you now. We can hear your voice. We can walk with you. We can do your will upon this earth. God, we praise you today. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we want to welcome you, Fire and Grace Church, this morning. Welcome those listening by Blog Talk Radio. Welcome those listening by Facebook Live this morning, watching. Praise God. Been a long week. Been a tough week, but God is good. Amen. Want to share just briefly, kind of blowing my mind. We, not this past Friday, but a Friday a week ago, so just a little over a week, we posted the video on YouTube of part four of God's Flat Earth and the Power of His Firmament, and that was part three. I'm sorry. We posted that just a little over a week ago, and we are now around, maybe probably by now, over 3,200 views in just a little over a week. It's wonderful hearing from people from all over the country. Just have been blessed and encouraged, and just amazing testimonies that are coming in. Only had a few negative folks. One was a Roman Catholic. Another one was two or three were atheists. So, I'm not too worried about what they think anyway. But point being is it's blessing a lot of people. A lot of people said that I'm not saying I'm one of the first pastors, but they said that for them and all they're looking at videos and stuff and research on the internet, that I'm one of the only pastors that they found that's addressed this in a church setting. So anyway, if you hadn't seen that, you can go to YouTube, search my name, you'll find it. But anyway, this morning, the Lord has laid a message on my heart, and I guess I kind of need these reading glasses. Let's got a lot of scriptures to cover this morning. So let's go to the book of Proverbs. We'll start there this morning. You can turn me down to number one just a hair, please. It's a little loud in here. Proverbs. And let me pull up. I have so many notes this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 first. Today, the message, teaching, whatever you want to call it this morning, has to do with the subject of wise counsel. And the Lord just really dropped this in my heart, praying on Saturday or Friday. I can't even remember now. It's been so many days of running together. But this is something that's really been stirring on my heart for a while, because I'm discovering that we live in a generation now, it's blowing my mind. Nobody wants to listen to godly counsel, advice, and certainly not their elders. It seems like, particularly this younger generation, everybody wants to learn the hard way. Everybody's just determined that for some reason they can't listen to anyone that might have been through something already ahead of them, learn some lessons by going through it the wrong way or making wrong choices, and actually learn and heed their counsel and their advice and avoid the same disasters, pain, and suffering that their elders have experienced. But for some reason, stubbornness abounds in the human race, and even among those who claim to be born again, spirit-filled, God-loving Christians, they just can't seem to listen to godly counsel. Now, what I'm going to share with you today, there's several, I don't even know how many verses are here, and I'm probably not going to get to them all, and I'm not going to get to all the examples, okay? But I'm not just talking about listening to the counsel of a person. That's part of it, a godly person in your life, okay? We'll get to that in a second, because really what I'm talking about, and I'll show you this in the Bible, but there are three counselors, three types of godly counsel that you should seek out, that you should listen to, and seek to obey and heed wisdom and advice. I'm going to show you, number one, the Word of God. The written Word of God, the Bible. Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation. In fact, but we may turn there in a second, but the verse is Psalm 119, verse 24. It says, David writing here the psalm, he says, Lord, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And when he's using the word testimonies here, it means God's written record of his dealings with his people, his commandments, his statutes, his law. And God, and David says, your testimonies, your word, your written word, they are my delight and my counselors. Right? So the first one is the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, the multitude of passages and verses and stories and examples that we have. The examples we have of people in the Bible. What I love about the Bible is the Bible doesn't just give you the people who did everything right. It tells you about the people, some even good people, who did some very bad things and made some terrible mistakes. Now, why would God include those in there? Well, he would include those in there so we would learn from them and not do the same thing, right? We would see this example. So, number one is God's Word should be our number one counselor we should seek out and listen to, right? God's written word, the Bible. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Number two is this. If you are a born-again Christian and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you should, through prayer, through fasting, through meditating on God's word, you should have over time, through repentance, turning from your sins and obeying God, you should be developing or have developed an intimate relationship with God and His Holy Spirit that dwells within you, so that when you have a problem, when you have the need of counsel or advice or wisdom or discernment about a direction you should be able to hear the Lord speak to you, the Lord Jesus speak to you by His Holy Spirit inside of you. I'm finding that so many Christians claim to be born again. They claim to be born again. They claim to be filled with the Holy Spirit or have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, and yet they never hear or discern God's voice in a matter and do the right thing. Okay? But we should be consulting God's Word as a counselor. We should be consulting the Holy Spirit within us as a counselor. And yes, finally, we should also seek out godly elders, godly men and women who can give us biblical, sound, Holy Spirit-led advice that will help us. And now, trust me, I know the world is screwed up right now. I know there's a lot of people out there that you can't get good advice or good counsel from. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But this is so important. Because I don't just pastor this church, okay? God has always worked it where I end up, you could call it mentoring, discipling, teaching, trying to train or encourage, help many other people that don't attend our church here in Opelika, Alabama. And what blows my mind is people will say, Pastor Dean, you know the word. You know the word like nobody I know. I got a call the other day from somebody I hadn't seen in a long time. The reason they were calling me, they said, I knew you'd know where it is in the scripture. I knew you'd know the answer to this. And so they called for godly counsel and advice. All right? So this happens. I'm telling you, all over the place. But what blows my mind is how many people will say, Pastor Dean, you know the scriptures. Pastor Dean, you're anointed. The Holy Spirit's in you. Pastor Dean, you know, tell us where it is in the scriptures and or explain this to us. Rightly, you know, divide the word. Show us what all this is talking about. And what I'm blown away is how many times I will get a phone call, an email, have a conversation with people that they ask, give them the scriptures, give them the counsel from my own life, things that I've learned after 30 years of being a preacher and a Christian, and how many times they don't do anything that I counsel them to do. Whether it was straight Bible, whether it was how I handled the situation in my life, sometimes I'll tell them how I handled the situation wrong and don't do it that way. Or how I handle the situation right, and you know, if you try this, it might work that way, right? I'm just blown away by the people that nod their head. I know what you're telling me is true. I know you're trying to help me. And then they go off, and they do the exact opposite, and end up in a greater disaster, in a greater problem, in a greater difficulty. I cannot tell you over the years how many people have said these words to me. I should have listened. I should have taken your advice and put it to practice. Let me show you these verses, and we're going to turn to them. I said Proverbs 11, right? Proverbs 11, verse 14. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You hear that? Where there is no counsel, the people fall. Now, this could be twofold here. It says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. Maybe you're in a situation, you're in a church, or you're in a family, or you're in a group, and there just happens to be no godly, wise counsel. You have surrounded yourself with a bunch of fools, right? And if you've surrounded yourselves with a bunch of fools who don't know God's word, don't obey God's word, don't have any fruit to prove that they've lived a godly Christian life, you're in big trouble. So whether you've put yourself in a place where there's no godly, Holy Ghost-led counsel or true biblical sound teaching, if you put yourself in that situation where no counsel is, it says the people will fall, right? But this is also the flip side of that, is if you are stubborn person and you need to seek out godly counsel in the Scriptures, seeking the Holy Spirit and seeking out an elder, if you won't seek out help when you need help, if you won't seek out the multitude of counselors, then you're going, you have no counsel because you don't seek it out, right? And the Bible is very clear here. If there's no counsel in your life, you don't search the Scriptures, read the Scriptures, meditate on the Scriptures, and treat them as your delight and your counselors, you're going to fall. If you don't have a relationship with where you hear the Holy Spirit speaking inside of you because you spend more time watching TV and drinking beer than you do in prayer and seeking God and obeying God, and you don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where you can hear Him, you will fall. If you're not willing to humble yourself and seek out your pastor or elders or godly counsel, you will fall. And that means you will fall away from God. You will fall into sin. You will fall in. And the reason you will fall is because, let me tell you something. The reason people don't seek out godly counsel, wise counsel, is mainly because of pride. And the Bible teaches that pride goes before a fall. It takes humility to say, I need some help. I need some counsel. I need some advice. I need some direction. Now, granted, for elders and pastors and those that are in authority that God's anointed and called to positions of leadership in the church, sometimes those positions and those people have abused that authority and that power. And a lot of people shy and run away from authority figures because they're afraid, because they've been misled or they've been abused. And again, it's critical, little note here, that when you seek out counselors in the human realm, human beings, that you seek out godly ones. But I wanted to get this. If the Bible says, where there is no counsel, the people fall, it's pretty serious, right? But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. How many of you think safety is better than falling? Right? I'm going to tell you the multitude of counselors you better have. You better have a multitude of Scriptures when you're trying to decide something. Is it scriptural? I mean, for instance, I have people all the time, they'll come to me and they'll talk to me about someone they're dating. And we're talking about people that are thinking about getting married, right? Oh, I need your advice. I need your counsel on, I'm thinking about marrying this person. Well, you know what my first question to them, if they're a born-again Christian, is this person you want to marry, are they a true born-again believer following Jesus, a true disciple? Now, why do I ask that? Because the Bible says that a believer, a true believer in Jesus, a true born-again follower of Jesus, should not date or marry an unsaved, unbelieving, disobedient, rebellious heathen that doesn't follow Jesus. The Scripture's clear about that. So the counselor is not Pastor Dean. The counselor is really the Scriptures. My job is to point people to the Scriptures and say, here's what God said. I can't tell you how many people have disregarded that counsel and married an unsaved, rebellious, disobedient, sin-loving heathen, and it is a disaster. And then they go and have children in that mess. A divided home. And most of the time, the division between the believer and the unbeliever, the marriage does not last. There's a few exceptions, but most of the time it doesn't. But again, hard-headed people. You know, I think my wife and she introduced me to the term missionary dating. Oh, well, I'll get them saved. And then you date them for 6 months, and they don't get saved because you end up compromising with them. And then you say, well, if I marry them, then I can get them saved. That's you seeking and doing your own thing. That's not godly counsel. So where there is no counsel, or where you throw it out, or you don't listen, or you don't heed that advice, you will fall. All right? Now here's a verse I want to put in here. There's so many verses about this. Psalm 33:11. Some of these you can turn to quickly or make a note of. But we're talking about the counsel of the Lord. And what did we find out? Psalm 119:24 said, the testimonies of the Lord, David said, are my counselors, the scriptures, the word of God. That's why Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Right? Every word's important. Every passage, every story, everything in the Bible. God's word is God-breathed. And according to Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is a two-edged sword, and it's alive and powerful. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They're not just words on a page. This book is unlike any other book. But here's what he said, Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. You want to know something? You want to build your life on something that's solid, that's going to stand forever? It is the counsel of the Lord, his testimonies, his word, his truth. It's the only thing that's going to stand the test of time, the attacks of the devils, the attacks of the unbelievers and the heathen and this whole world system that's Antichrist. The only thing that's going to stand forever is the Lord, his counsel, and those who heed and obey his counsel. Right? Let's look at another verse. I love this one. I'm going to scroll down here. I got so many of them. Proverbs 21:30. It's easy to... This is one of the scriptures that shows you how easy it is to discern the difference between godly and ungodly counsel in your life. Here's what it says. Proverbs 21:30, one of my favorite verses. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. If somebody gives you advice, counsel, or you think you hear from the spirit world, direction, counsel, instruction, and it goes against what God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given us in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, in the Bible, if it goes against that at all, it is not of God. It came from your flesh. It came from somebody just giving their opinion. It came from something. But listen, there is no wisdom, nor counsel, nor understanding, nor counsel that is against the Lord Jehovah Yahweh, the God of heaven and earth, the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If it's against him, it is ungodly, unrighteous counsel. Now here we're instructed, everybody ought to know Psalms chapter 1. Let's go to Psalms 1 and read that. Y'all don't mind me preaching a little bit this morning, do you? Don't be stubborn. Psalm chapter 1, the first psalm of David, the Holy Spirit speaking through David, the first psalm, he says this, verse 1, blessed is the man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is the scriptures, the word of God, the written word. His delight is in the law of the Lord and his commandments, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Short psalm, but covers something dramatically important. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't go in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful of the mockers. And the only way that you're going to seek out, and he gives you the clue, the counsel that you should seek out is by meditating in the scriptures. That's really the multitude of counselors is this whole book. God gave it to us to be our counselors. These scriptures, these passages, these truths, these stories, inspired, God-breathed scriptures to be our counselors. Then he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'll give you my Holy Spirit to be your guide. He'll guide you into all truth. He'll remind you of things that I have said to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. And yes, people, we'll get to that in a second. But he's telling you, don't go to counsel just to anybody. Guess what? There's some Christians out there. You think you're going to some Christians for counsel. And they don't know what they're talking about. Right? A lot of them really don't know. And this is why it's very important. It's not just about seeking, oh, they're a Christian, so they must be able to give me godly counsel. You better be careful. There's a lot of Christians who are ungodly. They don't give biblical counsel. Or they don't have enough discernment to know, to be able to sit with you and talk with you and discern your situation properly. I don't just seek out any old Christian to give me counsel or advice. You understand? Proven people. All right? Let's look at another one here. I mean, I'm just going to give you some quick passages here. You can Psalm 73:24. Just write this down. Psalm 73:24. He says, Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. What's he saying? God, you will guide me with your counsel. God, you will guide me into all truth. Holy Spirit, you will guide me. Holy Spirit, you'll speak to me directly through the scriptures, through other people. You'll speak to me. You'll guide me with your counsels. And if I heed your counsel, then their day will come. You will receive me into glory, into heaven, into eternity. This is how important this is. If you reject counsel, if there's no counsel in your life, you don't seek it out, what is that? You will fall. What is this telling us? It's the opposite. If you will constantly seek out God's counsel, God's wisdom, God's revelation, he says you will follow that, it will guide your life, and then you will end up in heaven. Pretty serious stuff, right? See, a lot of people don't get the fact that you have to continue walking in God's counsel. We got entire denominations of churches out there that say, all you do is say this prayer, sign this card, get baptized in our pool, and you're good for all eternity. You're once saved, always saved, no matter what you do after that. That is a lie from hell. Because the scripture says over and over, if you continue in the faith, grounded in faith, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Colossians chapter 1. If you continue in his word, then you are his disciple indeed. John 8:31-32. If we continue to have fellowship one with another and walk in the light as he is in the light, We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, the light is the counsel of God's Word, the truth of God's Word, the truth of His Holy Spirit. If we continue to walk in that light continually, then the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us and keep us clean and make us ready for when we die or when Jesus comes. Right? I mean, folks, I could preach on this stuff here for a while. I can't even tell. I don't even know how many scriptures I have here. Look at this. Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose. Listen to that. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. See, folks, we are in a spiritual war against Satan, against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against the fallen angels, the demon spirit. We're in a war. And he says, you can't win this war unless you have counsel, God's counsel in your life. Pretty serious, right? Here's one I found that just really, really blessed me. Isaiah 11:2. Let's turn to that one. Let me show you something. How many of you know there's a counseling anointing? Isaiah 11:2. And actually, we'll read 1. Actually, 1 through 3 here. This is a prophecy about Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, the anointing upon Him. Look at this. He's called here in this verse, the branch. Verse 1, he says, And there shall come forth out a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David, and Jesus in the flesh, God became flesh through the line of King David, Jesse. He said, there will come a stem out of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now listen to this. It's talking about the anointing, the Holy Spirit upon Jesus. And it says this, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity or justice for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and he shall slay the wicked. But here it says that the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, this is why you seek out godly counsel. This is why you seek out people that are anointed, filled with the Holy Ghost, living the life, and you know that has a relationship with the Lord, because it said there's an anointing for counsel and might. You see that? I never even heard that phrase used or used it myself or even thought about it, but there's a counseling anointing. There's a counseling gift and move of the Holy Spirit. It's really strange, because I can say that over the years I've sat down with people, and sometimes, folks, let me tell you something. I'm a minister. I'm called a minister. I'm anointed to preach and teach. But sometimes I sit down with people and I'm like, I have no idea what in the world I'm going to say to these people. Some people, they are so messed up and confused, and their situation, boy, I'm going to tell you, their life troubles. The egg is so scrambled. I have this saying. I said, I don't know. There's no unscrambling this egg, right? What do you do? What is the answer? And no joke, sometimes I'll be sitting there with them saying in my head, Lord, I don't know what to tell these people. I don't even know what scripture to tell them, because I don't even know they'll understand what I'm saying. And I will feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit come over me, and I'll just know what to say. Tell you the truth, I don't even understand preachers that don't depend on the Holy Spirit for help. Lord, Y'all don't even know this. How many times I get up to preach and I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, it's just the anointing comes on and you know what to say. But we need him. There's that spirit of counsel in my, I love this. Go to Isaiah 46:10. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures this morning. Isaiah 46:10. I love this. Speaking of the Lord, it says, he declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. This is the Lord saying, one of the ways you can trust my counsel is, I give you prophetic things. The Lord says, I declare the end, what's going to happen in the end, at the beginning. I've given you Bible prophecy, so you know what's going to happen at the end, and I gave some of it thousands of years ago. So you'll know that it is my counsel that will stand. This is one of the things, I got people out there all the time attacking God's word, saying, it was just written by men. I don't believe it's the inspired word of God. I get, you know, all these atheists and agnostics, and it's amazing anybody like that will say, I don't know what to believe. All of a sudden, they're experts at it, right? Why don't you just say you don't know and shut up, right? But what I'm blown away at, they say, I don't believe the Bible is the word of God or significant or whatever. And I'm like, most of the time they hadn't even read it. They don't have anything to base that on. They're repeating some other person that just decided to attack the Bible and run their mouth. They just repeat things. Like they say, it's full of contradictions. Show me one. They can't. Right? And they simply hadn't taken the time to check and see that the Bible is unique. It's different than the Hindu Vedas. It's different than the Quran. It's different than the writings of the Buddha and Confucius and Shintoism and Hinduism and all the isms out there. Because one of the things is that unique to the Bible are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of prophecies given, sometimes hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years. Specific things before the event happened, and then they happen. There's more manuscript evidence for the Bible, just the New Testament. More manuscript evidence going back to the first century, the second century, for the New Testament. More manuscript evidence than any 10 books of ancient history. No, people don't want to accept the Bible because that means they got to change their ways. People don't want to accept God's law because they've made a law, they've become a law unto themselves. They have their own counsel. It would mean they would have to accept God's standard of morality when they have their own. In fact, the reason people, Jesus said it. Jesus said the reason people hate the truth, they hate the word of God, is because they love their wickedness. They love darkness instead of loving the light. All this crap, evolution, the Big Bang, all this stuff is man trying to come up with feeble explanations so that they don't have to face the moral, just God of the universe who will be their judge. They don't want to face it. That's why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14. Say there is no God, you're a fool. And the Bible just says, you are an idiot. You know nothing. You think you know something. You profess yourself to be wise, God says, and you are a fool. Romans chapter 1. Verse 22, if you want that verse of scripture. counsel. Now let's go to people a little bit. Let's talk about. Well, I'll give you this, Isaiah 30, verse 1, God speaking to the children of Israel, said, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may sin." He said, the children who are rebellious, who don't take counsel from the Lord, the reason they do that is because they want to add sin to sin. They just want to keep doing what they want to do. This is why a lot of people are going to stand on Judgment Day before they are cast into hell. They are going to stand on Judgment Day and they're going to say, "But Lord, Lord, we believed in you. Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. Lord, Lord, we did many wonderful works. Lord, Lord." And he's going to say, "Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire." Why? It's not enough to say. So many people say, "Oh, I believe in Jesus," but they never give up drunkenness. They never give up drugs. They never give up adultery, homosexuality, premarital sex. They never give up. They just want to keep adding sin to sin. They don't want to take God's counsel. It gets kind of scary when you keep refusing God's counsel. In fact, I didn't even plan on this one, but Proverbs chapter 1. This is probably one of the most scary passages in the Bible. Proverbs 1, you want to know why? Listen to this. Listen to what God says. If you're going to be stubborn and not listen to his word, his counsel, people he sends you, true pastors, true prophets, true elders in the kingdom of God, you're not going to listen, you're going to do it your own way. You'll be rebellious, disobedient, break his law, live according to your own morals and standards. And what he says. First of all, he says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in verse 7. But then he says this, and I want you to go over to verse 22. He says, "How long, you simple ones?" The word simple here means foolish, unlearned, ignorant. "How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Turn at my counsels," what he's saying, the word there. "Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called," the Lord says, "and you refuse, and I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded," he says, "and you set at naught all my counsel," meaning you put my counsel aside as nothing. He says, "and you would not at my reproof." He said, "I will also laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall you call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for they hated the knowledge, they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, and they would none of my counsel, and they despised all of my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil." When you think about it, God says, if I brought to you my word, my counsel, my truth, again and again and again. I brought it to you through the scriptures. I brought it to you by the Holy Spirit. I brought you godly preachers and teachers and elders and people to share the truth with you. And you keep saying, "No, no, 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 I'm going to do it my way." God said, there's going to be a day come for you, stubborn, rebellious one. There's going to be a day come where it says, you're going to call upon God in your day of your calamity and your distress, and when destruction is coming upon you, you're going to call upon him, and he says, "I will not hear you. I will not answer you. In fact, I'm going to laugh when your day comes." It's pretty serious. You can only reject God's counsel, his truth, his law, his commandments, his way, the offer he has of salvation and forgiveness through Jesus. You can only reject that and live disobedient, rejecting all that counsel, the great counselor, Jesus himself. You can only reject for so long before you cannot return. Oh, yes. There's a point of no return. There's people who think that they can play games with God as long as they want to, and that because he is love and because he is forgiveness, that whenever they get good and ready, he has to forgive them or he has to accept them. No, he doesn't. You think this is, some of you be listening, think, oh, that's just Old Testament, Pastor D. That's not New Testament Christianity. I got news for you. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 12, let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. We'll just flip there. Hebrews 12. Goodness, I flipped too far. Hebrews chapter 12, look at this. This is what he says here. This is New Testament to New Testament believers. Hebrews 12:12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Look what he says here, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Holiness means you do things God's way. You obey God, not the flesh, not the devil, not the lust of the flesh. You obey God, holiness. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Folks, if you're not walking in holiness, you're not going to see the Lord. You're going to see the devil and demons and ultimately eternity in hell. That's the truth, right? Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And then he said this, looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall from the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, someone given over to sexual immorality, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward he would inherited the blessing. He was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. This is the New Testament. I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, telling you, giving you the example of Esau, saying Esau, after he sold his birthright, after he sinned, after he turned away from God, he was a fornicator, he was profane, he didn't obey his parents, he married heathen women. And the Lord said, you know what? Afterward, when Esau finally realized he made some mistakes, and it said he came and wanted to repent with tears. He says he found no repentance. You want to say it can't happen? Look at the New Testament. Look at the difference between Peter and Judas. Don't get to the place where you can feel the guilt of your sin, but you can't turn from it. People like that end up committing suicide, just like Judas did. This is some serious stuff, folks. There's a point of no return. You can only reject God's counsel so many times before it's over. Now let's go to some scriptures about people, because some people think they don't have... Some people, there's a lot of Christians out there that think, well, I've got the Bible and I've got the Holy Spirit in me. I don't need any other people in my life to be a counsel or a guide or a teacher or a pastor or a correction. That's not biblical, folks. Right? God uses leaders in the church and elders in the church to give counsel and guidance and teaching and direction. The people, a whole bunch of people out there. One of the questions I ask people, one guy came on my Facebook page wanting to try to rebuke and correct me over something. One of my first questions to him was, do you have a pastor in a church? I knew he didn't. I said, there's time to go. You can't obey God's commands and have elders and a pastor and a church in your life as the Bible instructs you. You don't need to come here trying to talk to me about something you don't know anything about. Right? We got a bunch of churchless, pastorless, shepherdless, elderless sheep out there. I know that's probably not even proper English, but I'm just telling you. Because they won't seek it out. They won't humble themselves. They won't find it. Or they'll find a place, and teachers and pastors and churches, they'll find ones that'll tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. These are so many. Let me give you some scriptures. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Right? Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty or good counsel. So God does expect us to listen to people that he brings into our lives that are godly, spirit-filled men and women. Listen to this. Luke 7:30, speaking of the ministry, the prophetic ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was sent by God with a message. He preached the scriptures about being the one crying out in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. John the Baptist came baptizing in the River Jordan, people confessing their sins, repenting. He came preaching repentance, meaning turn from your sin. All right, stop it. Have y'all seen the video, The Honest Preacher? It's hilarious. You need to watch that. I feel exactly like that guy sometimes. But he says this in Luke 7:30. He says, but the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him or of John the Baptist. Meaning, what God was saying to the Pharisees was, guess what? You guys are in pride. You think you know the scriptures. He said, you're in pride. You've got all kind of issues. So I'm going to send this crazy prophet guy that's going to wear camel's hair and eat wild locusts. I'm going to send this guy, and he's not going to go to your schools. He's not going to have your degrees. He's not going to wear your fancy religious garments. And he's going to come into the wilderness preaching, and the people are going to be drawn to that message. But they said, when the Pharisees came out and they said, are you Elijah? And he said, no. Are you the Christ? And he said, no. They turned around and left. They saw, well, you know what? We don't have to listen to this old prophet guy. He's crazy. We're not listening to him. And what does the Bible say, though? Through John the Baptist, through that prophet, the message he was giving to Israel, to the people of God, was the counsel of God. And the ones who rejected John the Baptist were not rejecting John the Baptist. They were rejecting the very counsel and wisdom and advice and instruction of God, because God speaks through men and women. And you better recognize it when he's talking through somebody to you. The people that recognized John the Baptist, look at the difference. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, the know-it-all, the PhDs, the THDs, the Doctrine of Divinity people come, and they can't hear God speaking through the prophet. But these fishermen, Andrew, Philip, Peter, they listened. They heard the voice of God through John the Baptist. And because they were baptized of him and they received John the Baptist, when one day the Lamb of God walked up, They were in the right place at the right time, listening to the counsel of God, the anointed preaching, the truth, a true prophet, a true elder, true counsel from the Lord. And one day Jesus walks up. And John had already told them, I'm not the one. I'm not even worthy to reach down and unloose his sandal. But he's coming. And Jesus walks up, and what does John say? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And because John and Philip and Andrew and Peter were there, they begin to follow him. Receiving the counsel and the message and the ministry of John was key to them being able to receive Jesus as the Messiah. If you can't listen to somebody, you're in pride. You can't listen to another human being who knows a little more than you, been through a little more than you, might have a message from God for you. If you can't discern that, listen to it, you're going to be in trouble. Well, God can talk to me. I'm telling you, that kind of person, he's going to send somebody to him that doesn't quite fit the mold they like. Listen, if you're a Baptist hardhead, he's probably not going to send you a Baptist. If you're a Presbyterian hardhead, probably not going to send you a Presbyterian. You get what I'm saying? Sometimes God is going to make sure that the person he sends to you to speak truth to you is going to be completely opposite of what you expect or what you want or what you think. That's the way God works, right? Gosh, one of the biggest problems in this world today is people can't recognize who's godly counsel and who's not. We got a bunch of people think Joel Osteen's the best thing since sliced bread. That's not godly counsel. That's cotton candy. That's cotton candy, feel-good, motivational speaking. When it comes down to the hard truths, old Joel Osteen runs out the door as fast as he can go. That's not my ministry. I just don't do that. I just don't talk about sin. I don't talk about hell. I don't talk about homosexuality. I don't talk about people will be lost if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, their Messiah. You better figure out who's godly counsel and who's ungodly counsel. Sometimes the wolves, just like sheep, they dress up. Remember, did Jesus say that? Beware, beware, beware. Wolves will come to you in sheep's clothing. All right? Most of them have seminary degrees. The wolves are, I mean. Nothing wrong with a seminary degree. But most of them get it just so that they can, that's another piece of the sheep clothing they're wearing. A Satanist can go to a Bible school and get a degree, still be a Satanist. The Word of God is true. Men are liars, corrupt. There's really few anymore. But God wants you to find it. There's so much more I can give you. But I'm not going to keep on preaching this morning. Just look up in your Bible how many times the word counsel is there. How many times the word counselors. Advice. You'll be amazed how many times the word pops up in search engines. I was. I hadn't even touched the long list on this iPad today. That's only about half of them, maybe. And that's not even, that's just the ones that I copied and pasted over. I'm going to read these last verses here for those who think they don't need a pastor or elders or a church. Hebrews 13. Couldn't be more clear than this. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Jump over to verse 17. He says again, in the same book, same chapter, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So for those of you out there that think you don't have to submit to godly elders, pastors, leaders in the church, some people think that there are no leaders in the church, that everybody's the same. That is not what the Bible teaches. I know you like that communist idea. But the kingdom of God is a theocracy. He's the head. He puts leaders under that. And we're supposed to find godly leaders, and we're supposed to submit and, yes, obey and listen and heed their counsel and their advice. Yes, we're supposed to check it and make sure it's according to the Bible. Yes, we're supposed to check it and make sure it's according to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Yes, we're supposed to check it and make sure it's godly counsel. But if it's godly counsel, if they're godly people, they're anointed people, they're anointed, you better not take it lightly. If a person, God sends to you a godly man or woman of God, and they say, the Lord told me to tell you this, and they give you scriptures, and they give you a word that corrects something going on in your life, reveals an idol, reveals a deception, reveals a false doctrine you believe, reveals a sin that's in your life, trying to help you, you better not take that lightly. Because listen, I'll tell you this, for the Christian, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and God has to send somebody to you, it's because you're not listening. And usually when God had sent me to other pastors and other churches to give them prophetic words of warning, it's because they weren't listening. And usually when God sends a prophet to you with a word, it is the last resort before disaster. It's your last chance to avoid falling, to avoid the trouble that's coming, to avoid making the wrong decision that's going to have consequences. Some wrong decisions, folks, have consequences for years to come. I wish I would see more people, younger people, the people who are, you know, maybe even just not necessarily younger in age, but younger in the Lord, listen. You know, I'm telling you, some people out there, they've been saved 5 years, and they think it's the same as somebody that's been walking with Jesus for 30 years. I'm telling you, it's night and day difference. And if you can't listen to somebody that's truly been born again, spirit-filled for 30 years, and you think you know it all, and you've been saved for 5 years, you've got a pride problem, and the fall is coming to you. It's coming. It's going to come hard, fast, and continuously. Can't tell you. Pastor Dean, I wish I'd listened to you. There's a few people that are dead now that are saying in hell, I wish I'd listened to you, Pastor. Man came to this church when we first started. He was living in sin. Another former Marine. He had been saved his life, but he totally walked away from God. He was backslidden. He was a drunkard. He was an alcoholic, constantly drinking. He came to church. We talked to him about repentance. We talked to him about casting the demons out of him. And because of some of his false religious teaching, he wouldn't listen to me. He wouldn't listen to Kevin. He wouldn't listen to Patrick. They worked with him every day. He came to church a few times, and then he just kind of snickered and mocked and left out. And I went and saw him. The last time I saw him, he was in the hospital after a 3 or 4 day binge of drinking every day. And then not too long ago, I heard that he moved in with some woman. So he was not only living in alcohol and drug abuse, but he was living in sexual immorality with a woman he wasn't married to. And they get in an altercation, because anytime you mix drugs, alcohol, and sin, other sin, sex especially, you start mixing sex and you're not married, you're going to have problems. And so they get into a fight. Somebody, neighbor, calls the police department. He comes out of the house drunk, high, with a gun in his hand and points it at the cops, and he gets shot dead. Went to this church, wouldn't listen. He's dead, he's in hell, and he's wishing he'd listened. Remember the man in hell, Luke 16? Jesus said two men died, Lazarus and the rich man. It's not a parable, folks. He used the real name of a person, Lazarus. The poor Lazarus. Lazarus dies. It says he goes into paradise, into Abraham's bosom, which is now in the heaven. And he says he was comforted. But he said the rich man died, who wouldn't even help the poor man at all. I mean, he was so evil, what Jesus is revealing. He was so evil, he wouldn't even help a poor man laying at his gate. He was just evil, selfish, greedy. And this man dies. And it says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. I am tormented in this flame. The Jehovah Witnesses come along, the Baha'i Faith, all these people come along. Oh, there is no hell. Hell, or the new one, hell's not forever. And the man says, I'm tormented in this flame. Please send Lazarus. Let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. And he says, Jesus tells him, or Abraham in the vision tells him, nobody can pass back and forth. There's no, after this, there's no getting out of hell. There's no end of hell. There's no end of your judgment. And what does the man in hell say? Please, please, send Lazarus. Send somebody to my five brothers. Tell them not to come to this place of torment. It's all in Luke 16. Jesus taught it. And then he says, please send Lazarus. And the man's begging, said, if one rises from the dead, they'll listen to him. And what does Abraham say? No, not even if one rises from the dead will they listen. And he was talking about himself. He was talking about Jesus, that Jesus would die on the cross for our sins, be raised from the dead, a historical fact witnessed by 500 witnesses, recorded in history as a fact. Still, even the people who knew, Pharisees, Roman soldiers, who knew that Jesus died on that cross and rose from the dead, still didn't change their ways. There's consequences to our decisions. Final story, young man, years ago, me, my cousin, another Christian brother, witnessed to this young man. 19 years old, senior in high school. He said, we gave him the word of the Lord. You must repent of your sins. You must believe in the Lord Jesus. You must become a disciple to be saved. You must. You could die if you die in your sin. He was a drunkard. He was a partier. He was a fornicator. Now listen to what this guy said. He said, man, he said, I know everything you're saying is true. I believe it. I know I need to change in my ways and get right with the Lord. He said, but man, I'm about to graduate. Prom's next week. I'll do it after that. On prom night, right here in Auburn, he was shot in the back of the head. Died, 19 years old. Not ready. Unsaved. I guarantee you, he would say, listen to the counsel of the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the truth. You do love us. You don't want us to perish. You don't want us to be stubborn and not listen. Your ways are always better than our ways. Your truth, your commandments, your morals, your boundaries, they're always better than the ones we make up in our head. God, I pray today that somebody listening to me, whether here through the radio, through the Facebook, will finally stop being rebellious, disobedient, not heeding your counsel. And they'll finally admit, I'm a sinner. I've been doing my own will. God, forgive me. Today I surrender. I will do your will. Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, be my Lord and Savior. And that means you're my Lord. I will do what you say. This is what it's all about. Make it real. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, before we go, in this broadcast this morning, let's stand. Yeah, go ahead. And we'll say goodbye to those on Blog Talk as well.